talk about how we've been sharing the story of Jesus and his love to the nations. And that's really, really exciting. So thank you for coming. And keep in mind on that note that we are receiving the Lottie Moon Christmas offering all this month. And we didn't talk about that much today, but they're offering envelopes in front of the pews. And you can be praying about that. And all month long, we'll be taking a special offering. Our goal as a church is $6,000. And that's what we give to support international missionaries that serve our international mission board all over the world. And so let's go to the Lord now in prayer as we get started. Father, I do love you, and I am so thankful for how you use us everywhere. If we will allow you to, you'll use us at work. You will use us as your ambassadors when we go out to our neighbors and our friends and our community. You'll also use us when we travel to other parts of the world. And thank you for what you allowed our team to accomplish on this recent medical mission trip. Thank you for the firsts of this trip. Thank you, Lord, for the decisions that were made on this trip. Thank you for the baptisms that occurred, Lord, the outward expression of people making a decision to identify with Christ and unashamedly follow him. Thank you for protecting us on this trip, Lord, and thank you for the people we were able to help on this trip. Thank you for a church and a congregation that supports missions and gladly sends us and prays and gives and is faithful in many, many ways, a myriad of ways. I'm just so thankful, Lord, for all the things that we are experiencing as a body. We look forward to what you're going to continue to do in West Africa. And I pray that tonight, as we share, that these are just seeds that are sown that will bring a mighty harvest. And Lord, we are just continuing to pray that this area, this region you've called us to work in, will look differently one day because of your presence and your power, and because people know and follow the mighty name of Jesus. Help us now as we share, and just give us ears to hear, Lord, and set our hearts on fire, Lord, for what you want us to do individually. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated, please? We're just going to stand down here tonight, and we're just going to kind of come up one at a time and share some reflections about what took place on this trip. Really, this trip, as I reflect on it, was an awesome, awesome thing. And again, what I prayed really is where my heart is. It was really a trip of firsts. This was my sixth trip to West Africa, but and there's going to be pictures flashing that'll kind of set some tell some stories of what happened, but we're going to tell you verbally what's going on. Those are just going to scroll through as we talk tonight. But it was really a trip of firsts for me. For one, it was our first medical mission trip, the first time that we had an assembly of people to go to specifically serve medical needs. And didn't know what that was going to look like even when we boarded the plane. And so that was really exciting to be able to do that, and to meet practical and physical needs. And man, did we ever meet needs. We worked hard. This team worked hard. And so we actually, I think I've told this before, but I'll mention it tonight in our report. Over a two-day period in our first village we worked at, we treated 232 patients. And then in the second village where we worked, we were able to see 134 or thereabouts. There were some that were coming in after we closed up the clinic that evening. But lots of good needs were met, and you can be really, really proud of our team. Again, having eight people in a situation like that, and there's always adversity on a mission trip, and you don't know what to expect, but this team really exemplified Christ-like behavior. They handled the adversities well. They worked well together. I think that they modeled Christ well to people that were watching, and I couldn't be prouder of the team that went on this trip. And they really, really did an excellent job, and God used them. Sometimes they're going to probably tell you they were a little bit out of their comfort zone, but God used them in mighty and powerful ways, and we're excited about that. And God was moving spiritually. There's no doubt about it. As I've told you all before, like I told last week, we saw two young men baptized. It was my first time to actually baptize individuals in Senegal, and that was really a thrill for me personally. And then another man made a public profession of faith on the last night we were in the village. And so that was really, really gratifying. And so I just want to challenge you that we've got another trip that's going to be coming up in January. And that's going to be an exciting trip, because I don't know what God's going to do between now and then. And the seeds that were planted, I really believe God's going to bring a harvest. And so that's a trip in January that we can talk about at a later day. But very, very excited about what God is doing in Senegal. Other firsts on this trip, it was the first time I'd ever been on a mission trip to Africa with millennials. We joke a lot about millennials, and we teased Victoria Hackworth quite a bit. She was our resident millennial, and she is a brilliant young lady. Again, she just really adapted so well, and she couldn't be with us tonight, but really just did a great job in registration. She's not here, so that's why I want to say a word about her. And the other millennial that I am really super proud of and really impressed with is Nathan Qualls. And Nathan is serving in Dakar, Senegal, and he is with Ethnos 360, which used to be New Tribes. And Nathan is really wise beyond his years, and he was a great asset on our trip. He can speak enough French that he could help us with some needs that we couldn't have done on our own. And one thing comes to my mind in particular was when a really severely burned child came one day to the clinic, and there was nothing we could really do for that child. And Nathan stepped up and went with the driver to the hospital in a nearby city. And he was able to speak French and help the child get admitted and just help with some other things. And he was a blessing. I really love Nathan, and I'm really glad that he's in Dakar, and we'll be seeing him again on some subsequent trips. But anyway, I'm going to kind of step aside now and turn it over to Randy. Randy Qualls was our doctor on this trip, and he's going to share a little bit about his reflections, and then I'll just go assembly line, one after the other, and then I'll come up and bring it to a close at the end tonight. But I, again, really thank you for the opportunity, and I'm grateful for the folks that got to go on this trip and how God used them. So, Randy, if you'd come up.
First of all, I would like to say is thank you for allowing me to be a part of the team, and I was kind of the orphan that came along from another congregation, but we had a great time. Speaking of first, this was my first time to Africa, but it was not my first time on a mission trip. I haven't really kept count, but somewhere in the neighborhood, probably 8 or 10. But what was different on this was going to Africa, just the people and the social situation. I was taken back a little bit. One of the things that took me back was just how open and friendly the people are. As we all know, this is a very, very strong Muslim country. But that did not keep those people from, with open arms, accepting us and always greeted us with a smile. And the people there, one of the things that that touched me was, you know, honor is very big in that society. Hospitality is another thing that's huge in that society. And that's something that I had not experienced in some of the other mission trips that I've been. I never felt afraid or in danger because the people just were so open, and you know that they were just so glad that we were there, that there never was a real concern with safety. And so those were some of the things that I saw maybe that was different on this trip than the people, than on some of the other trips that I've been, mostly to Central and South America. So, and we have a lot of things to be thankful for. The pastor already mentioned that Nathan was with us, that being my son. And, you know, I hadn't seen him for almost a year. And so it was a blessing just to be able to spend a week with him. And though we were both doing our own thing and we didn't really have, a lot of time, but, you know, riding on the bus and the van and some things like that, we did get to spend some good quality time. And it was always a burden on my heart. I always wanted to, because he's going into full-time missions, it was always a burden that I just wanted to have that opportunity at least one time to do a mission trip and share that with him, that we'd have that bond together. And so I was really, really thankful for that. And, you know, God, just so many places and so many times I look back on how God watched over us and put this trip together. This trip, in human effort, would have never happened. In fact, I mean, what was it? Was it 24 hours before we left? We still didn't have that document that we needed to get in the country. And you know what? God took care of it. I don't know about you, Pastor, but I was, that night, I was like, what are we going to do if we don't get that letter? How are we going to function? And how are we going to have to change this trip? But, you know, we took equal to about 4 suitcases full of medicines and we gave almost all of that out. So we were able to touch some people there. So, but God was with us. God watched over us. God took care of so many details that had to all fall in place for this trip to be a success. And I just praise God for that. And as far as the patients that we saw, one of the things that was different than in some of the other trips is, you know, the number of malaria that we saw. I don't know the exact numbers of malaria, but I'm guessing Marianne probably has the exact numbers, but probably in the neighborhood of 10 to 12 patients we were able to see, diagnose, and treat for malaria. And, you know, malaria is, of course, very common there, and it's not something that is taken lightly because there's a lot of people that do pass away from malaria. And we saw some that came in that were quite sick, and so that was just a blessing to be able to help that. The other thing is that we saw a lot of chronic problems that have to do with their lifestyle. And, you know, it was just, it broke your heart because you knew there wasn't anything that we were going to do to really change some of those issues. It seemed like everyone that came in the clinic, adult-wise, was complaining some kind of back pain or joint pain. And if you saw how they had to work and they lift and the hard life that it is that they live in these villages, and you know you're not going to change that. You know, we gave them some anti-inflammatories or some Tylenol or something to try to ease the pain, but we know that that was temporary. Because it's not going to change the hard work that they have to do. And so that just kind of breaks your heart sometimes when you see the environment that they're in and know that a lot of this is going to be ongoing type of problems. So, but their greatest need is Jesus Christ. And through the trip, we were able to share the good news and to pray with these people. And, you know, I really believe a lot of seeds were planted, a lot of doors were open that God will use in the future. In future trips, we'll see lots of fruit that happened that began with this trip. And, you know, you always wonder when you go on a mission trip, how is it that people, how do people view us coming, you know, as a Christian church and in a Muslim country, coming to try to help with some medical needs? And so sometimes I've kind of wondered how that was. Well, in my quiet time, I read something in my quiet time that Paul wrote that kind of, I think, addressed that. Because I think Paul had the same issue because he had churches and had people that were second-guessing why he was doing what he was doing. And I would just like to read a couple of verses in closing before I pass this on. And it's in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonica. And Paul writes here, as he's writing to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians, starting with verse 3, so you can see, we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Thank you.
Well, this was my first mission trip. I've wanted to go for years, and there was always an excuse. I got to work. You know, the kid, Lucas, was too little. Whatever. I always found an excuse. This time I kept hearing, go. You can do it. Go. And I said, but I don't know. I've got physical limitations. I don't know if I can do it. And I kept hearing, go. You can do it. You can do it. And he provided. All my worries was for nothing. I didn't have any problems while I was gone. And he just took care of everything. I spent a lot of time and on the free time we had playing with the kids. And it didn't matter what we was doing. They was just right there, wanted to be part of it. You know, playing hand games, singing. Leanne and Deanna would start the songs, and kids didn't know what we were singing, but they loved it. And then just working at the registration with Linda and Tori and myself, using sign language when we didn't have an interpreter. I'd get the older people to laugh. The kids would cry because they didn't know what was going to happen to them. You know, I'd go to raise their arm to take their temperature, and they'd, ah! One of them took off whenever I worked on the sister. He didn't want no part of it. But I knew that they was okay. And the parents would assure them that everything was okay. We wasn't there to hurt them. And just the fun that they had doing little things meant everything to them. It didn't matter what it was, just the little things. And they were so thankful that we was there. And the blessings that I got from being there was just amazing. I was asked if I would go back. I said, yeah, I'll be back. They said, in January. I said, no, it might take a little bit longer than that, but I will be back. Okay, we'll see you when you come back. So if you get a chance, go. If you can't go, give. Help someone else to go. And just continue to be in prayer. That's the biggest thing. Pray for all of these people out there. They need it.
Okay, well, if we go back to firsts again, this was not my first trip to Africa, but it was my first mission trip out of the country. And people ask me, was it amazing? Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you that God used me. And I can tell you how I know that, because Satan tried every which way he could to stop me from being used. From my luggage not showing up, from being down in the back, up to and including a potty chair collapsing, which ultimately God used to help correct my back. How, I don't know why. But once that chair collapsed, the pinching that I was feeling in my back was gone. And it's like God uses all kinds of things. The thing that impressed me, I was so impressed by one of the translators' testimony. And she could have been somebody that we see out on the street in Celebrate Recovery, or, you know, I'm not that she was on drugs, but she had a hard way to go. And had to do it by herself, ultimately ended up with her son by herself. And she just really impressed me. And she gives thanks to God, and she has given her life to God for that. And she's willing to tell her testimony and share that with other people and just spread the word that way. The other thing that really people ask me, was I surprised? Of course, I've been to Africa, so no, I wasn't surprised. But what did surprise me was the medical need there. And when you and I run to the doctor with a sore throat, or we run to the doctor because we've got a splinter in our finger, and I know I'm exaggerating a little, but when you go 3 weeks with a burn that's a severe burn, and every person that we interview, that we ask questions about, were similar. You know, how long have you had these symptoms? Weeks, months, a year? I mean, it's just unbelievable the need for medical care they have there. And the hospital, I mean, he does what he can. You know, I mean, you can tell he has a heart, and he's doing what he can, but he can't supply all the needs. He's one man. Here you've got a doctor for everything. You've got it, you know, and he's trying to fill all of those positions, all of the himself. And so the medical need is the one thing that really impressed me the most. And I just, these people, as Randy said, they would give you, they have nothing, but they would give you what they have. And they will, and their heart is the one thing they will give you. And that just really impressed me also. And so I'm going to turn it over to Leanne.
I didn't really plan on talking about this, but when we got in our little meeting, I was told I had to. Because everybody seems to have heard that there's a baby out there that has my name now. And so everybody wanted to know the story, I guess. And it's not really all that big of a deal. I will tell you that before we went on this trip, I was having dreams, nightmares, whatever you want to call it, about delivering baby while we were over there. And something was always bad going on. Something was always bad. So I asked Dr. Qualls if he wouldn't mind to please order an OB pack. It would make me feel much better if I had one. And they were just like $9. I thought it was worth the money. So it made me feel better that we had it. Second patient through the door on the very first day. Hadn't even checked in with the ladies. And she walked in and water broke all over the place. So so we labored all day. And it didn't even dawn on me, too. I hadn't told most everybody that we were doing this. So about halfway through the day, they found out that we were having a baby in there. And they're, what? You know. Anyway, conditions were very, very rough. I've never seen anything, never worked in those type of conditions. We're very, very spoiled over here. And even though I've been a nurse for 41 years and worked in some very small hospitals, nothing compared to this. Some of these pictures that you're seeing, you see the small white building that you've seen come up a couple of times? That is their hospital. When you walked in, there was a just a waiting room. There were two hospital beds in the waiting room, and they usually had patients in them. There was a doctor's office to the side and an exam room to the side and a storeroom. Off to the other side was one room that had two patient beds in it. That was where the inpatients usually were if they weren't in the waiting room, and a bathroom and the pharmacy. You saw some pictures of Mary Ann and Deanna in the pharmacy there. That was their hospital. There was a small building off to the side where the ladies had their babies. And it had three rooms. I wish I could even describe it to you. I felt fortunate that there was an exam table in there, so that was great. They do the best they can with what they have. They have a lot of needs that I would love to see us on the next trip, maybe bring some of those things over. So it was great. This, back to the mom. She developed, this was her eighth baby, by the way, so I thought, boy, we're just going to have the have this baby here, and it didn't quite work out that way. She had a few problems. This baby decided it was going to make its appearance upside down, face up instead of face down, and she could not deliver. And God's timing was absolutely perfect, though. You know, she, I didn't realize that we could even send her to another, to a bigger town, that was possible. And all of a sudden, I told the doctor that was from there what was going on, and he said, oh, well, we'll just call an ambulance. And I thought, oh, how many hours is that going to be? 30 minutes. 30 minutes. I don't know how in the world they got to us in 30 minutes, because that road is horrible. And so anyway, and off she went. And then we heard later that she had a cesarean section and delivered a little baby girl that, unfortunately, they did name after me. So nobody will ever be able to pronounce it over there. And she's, anyway. But there's a picture running through here, and you can't really hardly see it, though. I saw a grandmother, and after I saw her, we walked her out to the waiting room, and her daughter and the daughter's baby were there. And the baby was just had a very pitiful cry, and I asked how old the baby was, and it was a month old. And at that point, she picked up the baby's arm, and I mean, this baby just had nothing there. I mean, it was just the skinniest little baby I've ever seen in my life. And so I said, how old's the baby? Well, it was a month old, and it probably didn't weigh 4 pounds. And I said, is the baby having trouble eating? Yes. Well, the baby couldn't eat. Mother was not able to produce milk. And so they were having trouble feeding the baby. And Dr. Qualls mentioned, well, somebody mentioned anyway, this baby that was very severely burned that Nathan had taken to the nearest town to go to this larger hospital. Nathan happened to be there when this particular little tiny baby, we were working with it. We'd had a couple of bottles of formula. We gave the baby some formula, just, you know, took it right down. It was so hungry, poor little thing. But we thought this isn't going to last. And so somebody, I believe it was Pastor, called Nathan, and he was able to go by a pharmacy and buy a month's worth of formula for this baby. The doctor arranged for it to see a specialist there, too, the next week. And so that one was a pure blessing because we'd not even checked this child in. This child was not supposed to be a patient at all. It just was there in mother's arms, and we just walked by, and there it was. So that one had my heart. I can't quit praying for this one. I can't quit praying for any of them. The people are just so absolutely wonderful. If you have any inkling that this is something that you need to do, you should just go for it. I mean, it was just an absolutely wonderful experience. I, too, had a lot of worries about whether or not I was healthy enough to go, whether or not, you know, which is why my daughter ended up going, because she was afraid I would get myself in trouble while I was over there. So, everything went great. We didn't have any problems. Everybody was just wonderful. The people over there are just fabulous. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. You should go if at all possible. Thank you.
While this was not my first mission trip, it was my first trip to Africa, and it always amazes me the things that God can do through us if we will just be willing. Be willing to serve wherever he asks us. And that's basically what I watched the team do. We just fell into the places where we needed to be, served as we needed to serve, and did the things we needed to do. And I really love that, to see how God works through us. There are great needs there. Just as in any other country I've been in, it's just amazing how God can work. And you just have to go and watch and do, serve as God asks you. I pray that you all will pray for these people, pray for others. There's so many lost souls out there. I don't think we can ever stop praying for them. And I give thanks that I got to go. Thank you.
Okay, well, I get to finish this up, and I'm so excited to get to talk about this trip because I've gotten to go several times before, as you know, and I've usually gotten to stay a little longer than 3 days in the villages. And so that was one thing that I just had that prayer on my heart was, God, I don't know if I can... How am I going to be able to touch base with people that I've been praying for, that I've been encouraging, and will I even get to see those people that are on my heart and have become a part of me? And so God, as he always has, just worked things out in some amazing ways. And so one of those is those two young men that were baptized. One of them is the son of our host, and our host is not a believer, but this young man has been coming and listening. Both of these young men that were baptized, they've been coming and listening to teaching. They've been a part of our believers there, as far as being friends with them and being mentored and discipled by them. And last year when I was there, they had both expressed an interest in following Jesus, and I've been able to maintain a relationship with them over WhatsApp in over the last year. And so it was just so exciting to see them come and work right alongside and do whatever needed to be done, and to pray with David and those people that were coming through as we tried to pray for each person that came through. They worked with me in the pharmacy if they needed to go and run an errand for us. I mean, whatever it was, they were just working right there side by side with us. And that was just a beautiful part of what, to me, we got to be a part of, is that, yes, we had this team here from Missouri, and we met up with Sadu's team that works all over Senegal. And then when we got to the villages where we have been reaching out and praying for and bringing the message of Jesus to the villages where we've been working for the last 6 years, that some of the believers there were able to join right alongside of us, and all of us work together representing the body of Christ. And so that was just a beautiful thing to me. And Bass was with us, and he is one of Sadu's, like, his right-hand man. And so he visited with those young men the night before we were going to leave. Like, you know, we worked all day. We'd get home. We'd shower. We'd eat. We'd have teaching. One night we showed the Jesus film. I mean, and then it just seems like your time is just went so quickly. But Bass was able to share with them and make sure that they were secure in their salvation, and ask them if they wanted to be baptized, and they did. And so we got up early the next morning before we were to leave, went to the river, and you've seen the pictures where they were baptized. So that for me was just a thrilling thing, because those are some of my boys, they're some of my sons, and you couldn't have had a more proud mom at that moment. So there were some other things that some other people that I got to see that haven't been in the village every time that I've gone the last few times, but they were there this time. And they came and greeted, or as I walked to go greet the lady who is the sister of the tall man that was baptized, she accepted Christ a year ago. I got to walk over and greet her late one night. And as we were returning, there was a young man that called out to me. It was dark, and there were several men sitting out in front of a shop. And he said, "Fune." And I thought that it would be the owner of the shop, but whenever he came over to me, he said, "Don't you remember me?" And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, "I know your face, but tell me your name." And so many of you, if you remember the very first time that I went and stayed 3 weeks, and I didn't have a car, they just left me in the village, and I ran out of SD cards, and I was there 2 more weeks, and I needed to figure out how to get some more SD cards with God's word on them. And this was the man who got us the transport, took us to Tamba, took us to the computer shop, and helped us to be able to get those SD cards. I hadn't seen him for about 3 years. And so he was there, and we have connection now. We are on WhatsApp, and he messages me every day or two. If I don't message him, he's telling me it's been too long since we talked. So that's going to give me an open door to be able to communicate with him again. And so that was exciting, and just another blessing that God gave in the middle of everything going on. The little child that was burned is a nephew of one of our believers. And so we try to visit his family often. His father is not a believer, but he's watching. And so for us to be able to minister to this child and to be able to provide for their expenses and things that they need will definitely give a loud and clear message to them that Jesus loves them. We did get to go to Sini. And if you recall, that is where Usubi, the man who died last July, lives and lived. And his wife is still there, and they have several children. And we were planning to have a clinic there one day while we were for this trip. But because of our plane being delayed, we weren't able to do that. But we did stop to greet her, and it was very emotional. But it also, we needed to be there because their youngest child, a little girl, she's about 3 years old, had burned her leg a couple of months ago, I believe. And so Dr. Qualls and Leanne were able to look at her and to bandage her and give them some medication and some direction about the care for her. So we were thankful to be able to do that. It was too short of a visit, and looking forward to, they're looking forward to Mahadi, who is Vonda, to come back, and those others that are coming hopefully in January to spend some more time there and minister to them. And so that was another opportunity that we had. Okay, just wanted to make sure that I didn't miss anything. There's always a lot more things to talk about. I enjoyed working so much in the pharmacy. The pharmacist there in Netabulu was just a very kind young man to let us just come into his space and and kind of take over, but he worked right alongside of us. And so I know that that will be another opportunity to be able to build a relationship with him, and as well as the doctor there. And hopefully we will be able to continue to provide some other needed medical equipment and things that they could use to minister to the people there. And so I just wanted to end with this, and it was interesting that Dr. Qualls, that Randy had taken his scripture from 1 Thessalonians, because God had laid a Bible study on my heart, and it's called Children of the Day. And as I'm going through it, it just reminds me, as Paul is communicating with this church in Thessalonica about how much he cares for them and how much he wants to see them again and all of these things, I can share the feelings that he had for them, because they're the same feelings that I have for our believers in this region, and I hope that it's the same feelings that all of you have for them. And one of the things that Paul talks about is how you know, we treated you like a mother nursing her baby. We cared so much for you, and you became so dear to us that we're willing to give our lives for you. When we gave you God's message, he talks about in chapter 2, verse 11, you also know we did everything for you that parents would do for their own children. We begged, encouraged, and urged each of you to live in a way that would honor God. He is the one who chose you to share in his own kingdom and glory. We always thank God that you believed the message we preached. It came from him, and it isn't something made up by humans. You accepted it as God's message, and now he is working in you. And so that is how I feel about the believers there. And I pray that's how we all feel. And I just pray that you would continue to lift them up in prayer every day. It's difficult to stay close to God when other people are telling you, why are you following this God? What are you thinking? What are you doing? We have a young lady that's a believer who comes, and she says, I want you to tell me more stories, because that way when somebody asks me, why are you following Jesus, I can tell them. And so that's just the prayer that we need to have for each person there, that as believers, they'll be able to continue to spread that message, and as seekers, they'll be able to continue to be drawn to God, and that they'll see him clearly, and that they'll come to follow him. And I just thank all of you for all of the prayers and all of the giving and all of the loving that you have already done, even though you may not be able to go there. And I just thank you for what God is going to be doing in the future. I just thank you for your obedience to him and your faithfulness. Thank you.
Well, you've heard everyone tonight, and so obviously you now know that the trip was wonderful, and God is at work in West Africa, and he is truly changing hearts and lives. But here's the deal about going on mission. I think if you ask every person to a person on this trip, and all of several of you that have been on mission trips, that you also gain something. And if you go on mission trip, you'll come back a different person, and God will touch you in ways that you don't expect. And so God did that on this trip, and just be open to how God might lead you to be on mission for him. I've got a passage out of Romans chapter 10, and this is a passage you're going to be really familiar with, but this is the heart of it right here. We did go to meet needs, and we did meet needs, and really that child that Leanne talked about, you know, it was critical. That child would probably have starved to death if we wouldn't have been there and been able to call and get that extra formula and make those connections. God used us. He used us to meet physical needs, but he's using us to meet spiritual needs as well. And in Romans chapter 10, Paul writes these words in verse 14. He says, "How then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And that's what this team did, guys. They brought the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on this trip. And you do that, too, through your prayers and through your giving and through everything we do to minister to the people group that God has called us to in West Africa. Just a couple things for fun. I'm trying to spool it. Okay, I want you to listen to this song in just a moment. That's a worship leader. That's in the guest house we stay right before we go home. And he actually led a worship service at the end. And I want you to hear a song that he wrote about Jesus. But also, just for fun, those pictures of the road graders and the road, that's for Bradley. The first time we were over there, Bradley talked about how, you give me a month over here and I'll get these roads in shape. Well, brother, they are working on the roads right now. And maybe they're going to get them in shape one of these days. I don't know. But there's a picture of the food. I think everybody enjoyed the food. It really is not that bad. It is different than what we experience here. But especially that dish that you're looking at, we had that at the guest house the last day. And that was really, really good. And we were really served very warmly and hospitably. Randy, by the way, he got to go out and spend some time with Nathan on the last day. And so he actually went into the car and got to spend some time. So that's why he's not in those pictures there at the very end. And yes, we did get to walk down to the beach because the guest house is on the Atlantic. I like to say the west coast of the Atlantic because that's the west side of the Atlantic there. But it's not anything like the beaches you think about here. So, and there, yes, we got to have a coconut that last day. That gentleman got to go up into a tree and get a coconut for us. And so we had some fun times as well. And you probably saw the watermelon pictures too. There was watermelon everywhere. Really, really good watermelon. But I think we're coming pretty close to that picture now. I don't know if they can, probably they can't speed it up, but I'm trying to time it right. But I really want you to hear, and you won't be able to understand the words of this, but this is a praise song that this gentleman has written to Jesus Christ. And they are worshiping regularly. And that's another prayer. You can be praying that our believers in the villages will meet regularly, that they will be getting together whatever day they choose, but they will be sharing the Word of God together and singing and worshiping God, because that is not yet happening on a regular basis. And we're praying that that will happen and that God will raise up leaders too. We're seeing some of that happening, but it has to happen even more. And so those are some things. That's the next big step, and we've talked about that before, is discipling and for discipleship to occur. And that's one of the other exciting things is that schools might be started in that region of Senegal. And hopefully the IMB is working on that with maybe a journeyman's position. And maybe there's some other groups that are working on that as well. But we're excited about what God is doing. And I don't know if we're getting close. Hopefully we're getting pretty close to that. Because again, before we close tonight, I really want you to hear that song that he did. He's very, very accomplished as a musician. And it really is wonderful to worship there. When you are worshiping with believers, who've come to Christ in that culture. But I think just a couple more pictures and we'll be there. And you can hear that. It'll make a good closing tonight before we close. But and then, obviously, if you have questions, you want to talk to us, we'll make ourselves available in the foyer after tonight. Here we go. Can you guys turn that up? And we're gathered around here while he's singing.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's our report for tonight. Let's go ahead and bow together for a word of prayer. Father, our hearts are full, and we are so thankful for how you used us and for what you were able to accomplish, Lord, by your glory and your might and power for these few days we were in Senegal. And it did fly by as we were busy constantly, and yet there were some wonderful times that we had for discussions. We got to share stories from God's Word. We got to watch the Jesus film with other seekers. And so many things happened, Lord. And we just thank you. Thank you for the lives we were able to help and for the physical needs that were able to be met. And Lord, we look forward to what's going to take place in the future. We look forward to the upcoming trip in January. And thank you for the hearts that are already stirred for that trip. And we just can't wait to see what's going to happen when this next team goes into the villages and begins to share with people who have been considering the cost and thinking about coming to know Jesus as their Savior. And then, Lord, we look forward to other mission trips, medical trips. I think that we need to go back with additional medical trips, and we're learning, and we can even do better next time and be more efficient as a team. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would just make the way for us to go back again perhaps next fall in October or November. And, Lord, raise up additional people, just like we're to pray in your word to raise up workers, for the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. I pray that you would raise up additional people, maybe an additional medical personnel, or maybe just people who are willing to go. And thank you again, Lord, for people who are believing. Thank you for the joy that they exhibit, even in a hard place. It's hard because of the demands of living in the country there, but it's also hard because many people oppose them, and there is persecution. And so I just thank you, Lord, for how my heart is warmed by the people that I've met that love you and are following and serving you. And they are not afraid or ashamed to name you as their Lord and publicly declare you. I pray for the church to grow. I do pray, Lord, that you would help them to begin to meet regularly and to hear the Word of God taught and shared, and to sing praises to you in their culture and their heart languages like we just heard. And I just pray for teams that will continue to go and for other teams that are working there. It's good to know that Nathan is there and that there's other missionaries that serve there. And so I just thank you for the many things that are taking place, Lord. But again, much, much work needs to continue. There's so much that needs to be done. And so we just give you praise, but we also look forward to what you're going to continue to do. And as we close out our time together tonight, God, we just pray that you would continue to stir our hearts for missions. And maybe we're not called to go to Africa. Maybe our call is somewhere else. And I thank you for work that goes on behalf of Hillcrest Baptist Church in Cuba and in Bolivia and Chile and in the West Bank and Israel and just in all places all over the world. And I'm so thankful, Lord, for the kindred spirits and how we can work together for the cause of Christ with fellow believers and sisters. And, Lord, what we've seen tonight just reminds us of a great scene that I love to think about in my mind. I love to envision it, how one day we'll all be gathered around the throne of Jesus Christ in heaven. And at that point, you will have come again, and the time on earth will be over. And it says in that passage in Revelation chapter 5 that every nation, tribe, tongue, and people will gather around the throne and worship Jesus. Hallelujah and praise the Lord for that moment. And thank you for letting us be a part of accomplishing that. You're doing it, Lord. You're drawing people to yourself. But you allow us humbly to go and to be your witnesses and be your ambassadors. For that, we are forever thankful. And we will forever praise you as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.